Jai Krishna.
Praise the name of Jesus. So I'm talking about the five heartbeats, H-E-A-R-T. We spoke about honor last week. How many were here? Gauravaya, remember? We spoke about that last week. That was Singhalese, if you're wondering what happened to me. And we spoke about what honor is all about. And it's about honoring God. And why we honor God. When we come together, we honor God. When we come together, we honor one another. And it's about putting weight behind something that we do when we honor God. You remember the Hebrew word for that? It means putting weight behind something. And going on the same flow, I'm going to talk about excellence, because that's E. So what is excellence? You might ask. What is excellence? We all talk about it. We have heard much about it. And it's simply put, it's giving an expression. It's prioritizing something or some system that helps us move forward. It's putting something in place that helps us drive things forward. Because if it's like building a foundation of a building, you never see the foundation, do you? You can't see it because it's underground. However, we know that without that foundation, the building will not stand. It's necessary to have a foundation. And in a similar way, we have things that we put in of excellence that enable us to hold our values and our systems correctly. So that's what it means when you have a spirit of excellence, when you do things excellently. What you're saying is that I have certain values. I have a certain frame that I work by. I want to do my best. I want to operate in a system whereby I'm doing over and beyond my call of duty. That's a spirit of excellence. So we all choose values, don't we, in our lives, whether consciously or subconsciously. We can't do it unconsciously, but we can do it subconsciously. We choose values. And what happens is when you align yourself to a set of values that you truly believe in, and when you subscribe to these values, then what you build will be a good expression of those values. And even coming from a corporate setting that I work in, that many of you know, I work in the pharmaceutical field. We have a set of values as well as a company that we operate on. And they always hold us to account for those values. They always ask, are you maintaining, are you practicing these values that the company have set? And you and I, when we have those values and we subscribe that into our lives, then we are able to have to express ourselves in those values, and that brings about an excellent spirit. Jesus, if you remember in Matthew's Gospel chapter 7, he spoke about the house that was built on the rock. Remember that story? And the house that was built on the sand. And Jesus explained, went on to say that the house on the rock stands firm because it's built on a firm foundation. The house in the sand washes out. Why? When the floods come and the storms blow, because there is no foundation. And so when you build on something solid like Jesus, he's a solid man, isn't he? He's the Son of God. When we build on him and when we align our values to God's values, to his values, then we can stand. Whatever we build will stand. Can you see that? Whatever we build will stand. It will not fall apart. I think many times we fall apart because we build on things that are not of value. They're temporary. They just pass away. And we put everything in there, and we find that when the system collapses, then everything falls down. But when we build on Jesus Christ, who is our foundation, we realize and know that things are held in place. Amen? And we can build our lives on Christ, the solid rock I stand. We sing that song, all other ground is sinking sand. When we stand on the Word of God, we can encounter any situation. So last week, we spoke about honor, putting weight. And this week, I'm talking about excellence. So let's look at Psalm chapter 8, Psalm 8 and verse 1. And we see David there honoring God by saying these words. And he says this, O Lord, our Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. How excellent is your name. The name of Jesus Christ is an excellent name. Hallelujah. It's a powerful name. It's a name that we use that brings the authority, puts the authority of Christ in us, that enables us to speak into a situation. That's how excellent the name of Jesus is. Paul, in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, and verse 10, he's praying for the church, and he's saying that the church, that us as the church, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense, that you may prove the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense. And then he goes on to chapter 4 of Philippians, chapter 4, and verse 8, and he says this. He says, they said, whatever things are true, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things that has a good report, dwell on those things. Why? Because they are all excellent things. Can you see that? Dwell on those things. Why? Because they bring excellence. They're excellent things. And when you dwell on this, you do well. Can you see that? Philippians 4 and verse 8. So the Bible, often it talks about the pursuit of excellence. And if you looked at the dictionary definition of the word excellence, it means this: to surpass others or be superior in some respect or some area. It also means to do extremely well. That's what it means in the dictionary. If you look at Mark's gospel, we see a beautiful account there of Jesus, chapter 7 and verse 37. Jesus was doing miracles. Wherever he went, he had an excellent spirit, and he always reached out to people, and he was doing amazing things. And the people who were observing Jesus, they made this comment about Jesus. And this is what they said, that Jesus did all things well. Can you see that? And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. We have an excellent Jesus, an excellent person who went before us, who went to the cross for us. Everything he did, people marveled. They were astonished. They said, he has done excellently. They noticed his excellence. That's what they said about Jesus. He was not like the Pharisees or the scribes or the teachers of the law at that time when he was living at that period of time. Because they were hypocrites. They said something, but they didn't do what they said. That's a hypocrite. They were hypocritical in the way they operated. But Jesus operated at a different level. Hallelujah. He had a spirit of excellence. Let's look at some other examples as well. If you look at the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, chapter 6, how many remember the story of Daniel? Daniel was an exile. He was captured by the Babylonian kingdom, by the Babylonians, and he was taken into exile in Babylonia. And he was taken with some others, other Hebrew children as well. And in that situation, Daniel, the Bible tells us that he distinguished himself above the governors and the government leaders or satraps because of an excellent spirit. Can you see that? Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps because of an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit was in him. It was not because Daniel was superior. He was a slave there. He was a captive in this country. He was not in his own country. He was a captive. It is not about looking down on people. It's not about being distinguished for the sake of being distinguished to put yourself up there and everybody down here. It's not that type of distinction. What separated Daniel from the rest of that society there, from all the government leaders and governors, was what? An excellent spirit that was in Daniel. Excellence is a spirit. Can you see that? I hope you got that. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It comes from a spirit that you carry in you. It's an attitude of heart. I don't think you can teach someone that. You know, you can show someone that, but ultimately the person has to become and want to and have a heart and an attitude of heart that wants to be excellent. Before you can become excellent, you got to pursue excellence. It's like before you have a doctorate, you got to pursue it by doing everything that's necessary to grab that doctorate, correct? Nobody confers a doctorate unless you were Idi Amin, where he conferred all the doctorates upon himself. But none of us can do that, right? We cannot just, I can't call myself tomorrow, I'm Dr. Sam Jayakrishna. I can if I want to, but that'll have no grounds for it. There'll be nothing behind backing that. I can call myself it, but it's worth nothing. Can you see that? Excellence is the same thing. If you want to become excellent, you got to pursue excellent. You got to run after it. You got to grab a hold of it. You got to hold on to it. You got to desire it. You got to plan it. You got a purpose in your heart that you are going to be a person of an excellent spirit. I thank you for those amens. And to become excellent, to me, it is killing the whatever attitude. Or whatever will be kind of attitude. Because often we get into the whatever kind of attitude, que sera, whatever will be, and we don't get anywhere from there. And that's a terrible place to be. Now, there's nothing wrong with mediocrity as long as you don't park yourself there. As long as you don't park yourself in mediocrity, that is, you're neither good nor bad, you're a bit like lukewarm. What does the Bible say about lukewarm? God will spit you out. You either be hot or go the other way and be cold. But don't stay in the middle because you're of no use to anyone. And mediocrity is okay, but you don't park yourself. You don't stay there. It's something that you pass through in order to become excellent. On the road to excellence, you can go through the path of mediocrity because you're not parking yourself there. You're not staying there, but you're moving on. Can you see that? So it's okay. We all started somewhere. I never attained this overnight. It took me years and years of training. It took me years of staying in the game and knowing what things I need to do, what things I need to say. And so God has enabled and shaped me. It's a bit like playing an instrument. How many know when you start to play an instrument, it becomes very painful? Yeah, to the ones who are listening, that is. Not to the ones who are playing. And I remember Shane, our lovely son, you know. He was learning to play the violin. And, you know, when he was about 10 years, how old was he, 10? 8 or 9, around that age. And so he was learning to play this violin. And you know, because he was learning, it was getting a bit irritating. You know, and then at one point we said, Shane, why don't you go into the conservatory, you know? Go in there and practice. So the poor chap carried his violin, go in there and I mean, it was the most irritating sound that you could ever hear. However, the violin is a beautiful instrument, correct, isn't it? It's a beautiful, it produces a beautiful sound. But on the road to excellence, it's a bit painful, correct? It's a bit painful. Thank God he picked up the bass guitar. He's really good at it. What distinguished Daniel was the heart attitude he had. It was not that he was anything else. He was, what was he? He was just a captive in Babylon. It was a heart attitude. He had the heart to become the best and to be the best that could possibly be in any situation. And because he determined to be the best, he was the best. As long as you and I, that we are pursuing to be the best that we can possibly be on this road to excellence, that's good. Because eventually, ultimately, it'll get you there. It's like pursuing a degree. If you keep pursuing your degree, you will get there. If you give up halfway, you will never get there. Correct? Does that make sense? Yeah, man. Good. Amen. You know something? We all have a spirit of excellence in us. We all have it in us. Tell your neighbor, you have it. It's not just for somebody else. You have it in you. We all have it. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes this. You know whom he's writing to in Colossians chapter 3? He's writing to slaves. And he's encouraging them. These were people who were slaves. They had no rights, did they? If you look at some of the films on slavery, they had no rights at all. In fact, they bore the mark of their master on their body. Or they had a earring that they were slaves. Their social mobility was limited. They couldn't cross boundaries. They had to stay within a certain area that was assigned to them. They didn't have much earning power as well because they were slaves. They had very little control over their lives. Their masters had all control. They could sell them off anytime they wanted. Paul and their lives and their destiny was not that brilliant. Paul is talking to them in Colossians chapter 3, and he's talking to them about having freedom in Christ and having forgiveness in Christ. And he says that there is neither Jew nor Greek in verse 20, I think. There is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised nor uncircumcised, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. What an amazing, encouraging scripture telling these slaves who had nothing, who had no power, you know, in them at all to do anything, whose destinies were sealed. And he says, in Christ, you are equal. In Christ, there's nothing that is lacking or missing. And then he goes on to verse 22. Look at Colossians 3 and verse 22. And he addresses them and he says, bond servants or slaves, do what you are told by your earthly masters. And don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God. See, he first says, do it with all your heart. Work for your local masters. Do it well. And then he turns around and says, do it well. Do even better. Why? Because in doing so, you are serving your real master, the real boss, who is God. Confident in this, that you will get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you are serving is Jesus Christ. I tell you something. If we have that attitude in us, when we have that attitude in us, no matter what job we do, no matter how long it might take, no matter how hard it might be, when we have an attitude that, God, I am serving you in this, you're my master in this, I tell you, nothing will stop us. Nothing will put us down. Even if our pay is cut, even if we don't get what we are assigned to get, I tell you, when we have that disposition, when we have that attitude, we will move on. Why? Because we are not working for our local master. We are not working for this local company. We are putting in our effort. We are putting in our day's work because we are serving Jesus. And the ultimately, as I always say, my reward, it comes through my company. But I always believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And when we diligently seek our Heavenly Father, you can be assured of blessing. When everything else is going dry, you can be assured of blessing. When the Cherith brook, when Elijah was at the brook of Cherith, when it ran out, God took him to another place. God showed him another woman who is going to provide for him. When everything runs dry, when you are dedicated to God, when your life is surrounded by God, when you are putting God first in your life, when everything else dries up, God will ensure that you thrive, that you not just survive, but that you do over exceedingly and abundantly, because that's what my Bible tells me. Exceedingly and abundantly above all I can ask or even think of. That's what God can do in my life. And that's why I always give glory to God for my job. Why? And I do it well. Why? Because my reward comes from God through my company. But God assigns it. God makes it happen. And I told you many times, I don't know how it happens, but God makes it happen. And I truly believe it's because of what I put in to the kingdom of God, what I plant in the kingdom of God, because what I plant in the kingdom of God is eternal. And God always honors a diligent heart. And He says, don't just do the minimum. Don't just do the minimum. He says, do your best. Work from the heart for your real master. I hope we get this in our spirit today. Doesn't matter where you work. Your boss might be someone who is not that kind or not that good. But you can turn his heart around when you do better than he expects you to do. When you're willing to serve better. You know, something can grip his heart and he'll wonder, why is this person? I'm not being very nice to this person. But still, this person is willing to do better, to do more. Try it. God will turn things around for you. Now, we know slavery is not a good thing. We don't advocate it. We don't practice it. It's not good. But you know, in the context of looking at that, look at what you are doing right now. Put it in the context of working for Jesus. Because then, even though you might feel like a slave, you might feel tied down to something. When you put it and you look at it through the eyes of Jesus and say, God, I'm serving you. I'm doing this for you. Your life will become better. Your attitude will become better. Can you see that? So here's the first thing about excellence. Excellence is an attitude of the heart. It has to come from the inside of you. It has to be in you. You can try putting on a show, but it's not going to last. People will soon find out whether you're a person of excellence or not a person of excellence. If we capture this in our spirit, it'll transform our lives. And not only our lives, it'll transform those around us. Because many love to be around people of excellence. I tell you that. How many like to be around people of excellence? There's something about that. Let's become people of excellence. Here's the second thing. When you pursue excellence, you get noticed. When you pursue excellence, you get noticed. Daniel got noticed. Did you see that? Daniel got noticed. He was an immigrant. If you're an immigrant in this country like me, be glad. God chooses anyone and everyone who is willing, who has an excellent spirit. You know, we have heard many times people, you know, say, oh, I'm an immigrant, I'm this, I'm that, so I have no rights, I have no this, I have no that. They're thinking in the wrong spirit. But when you put yourself in the right spirit and you know that God's positioned you and placed you, it doesn't matter if you're an immigrant, because God validates you. Amen. God provides for you. And so here we have this captive, Daniel, from a fallen city, an enemy of the state, really, because he was taken captive. He could have rebelled against his captivity, couldn't he? He was taken by force. He could have rebelled. He could have given into his circumstances. He could have adopted, I don't care. I'm not going to do what the king says. I'm going to rebel against the king. After all, I'm in a foreign land. I don't have my temple, my synagogue. I don't have it here. And how can I worship when I don't have my church? But you know something? Daniel does what he can do, and that is prayer. He chooses to pray, not once, not twice, but he says, God, I will pray 3 times a day. Then he chooses what he wants to eat. We called it the Daniel fast. Remember that? Some of us did that. He chooses what he will eat. And he does a few things that say something about his spirit and his heart. He does a few things that say something of the different spirit that's in him. And he believes God will do something, do the rest for him. Something happened in Daniel's life. He carried an excellent spirit in him. Can you see that? Look at the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis. You know, he didn't have a good life either. I mean, he was betrayed by his own brothers. Think about that. He's thrown into a pit. Not only that, taken out and sold for money as a slave to traders who were going to Egypt. Not only that, he then gets into Potiphar's house. In Potiphar's house, he's made the one in charge of it. And then his wife tries to seduce him. And of no fault of his own, he gets thrown in prison. But you know what maintained Joseph? An excellent spirit. Because we read that, if you read that in Genesis, you see that God said that this man has an excellent spirit. It was an excellent spirit. You know the gifting that Joseph had? He had leadership in him. He had management in him. So wherever he was put, his gift always shone. In the prison, what did he become? A leader. Everybody went to him to ask for his advice. He became a good manager. And ultimately, that took him to Pharaoh. Remember the story? And he was second in command in Egypt. How does this happen? Because of an excellent spirit. Oh, I wish, I pray that church, that you and I will have an excellent spirit in us. Why? Because every gift that you carry will shine because of an excellent spirit that's in you and me. It's not about having the accolades. It's not about having the degrees behind you. They're all good. But it's about having a spirit of excellence to say, whatever I do, I'm going to decide, I'm going to declare, I'm going to speak out, I'm going to practice, I'm going to do whatever it takes to do everything well. Because I'm bringing glory to God. Keep developing a good spirit, an excellent spirit. Here's the other thing. You will get promoted when you develop a spirit of excellence. You know what the king did to Daniel? If you read that passage of scripture there, Daniel, was it chapter 3? We'll read there. He said, the king thought to set him over the whole kingdom. Hallelujah. Here's a slave. Here's a Hebrew boy, you know, who's living in a foreign country. He's an immigrant in the country, but because of an excellent spirit that he carried, the king wanted to put him in second in command or in charge of not the city, not the county, but the whole nation. Hallelujah. You see what the spirit of excellence can do? You know, we strive for things. We strive for this. We strive for that. But putting on a spirit of excellence can take you from here to where God wants you to be. And that's over a nation. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. If you're someone who seeks excellence, you get promoted. If you, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 22 and verse 29, it says this: if you get good, people will pay you for it. It says this: do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. Hallelujah. They will not serve before officials of low rank. The Message version says this: that skilled workers are always admired and they don't take a back seat to anybody. They don't take a back seat. Have you all seen a botched job being done? How many have seen a botched job? How satisfying is a botched job? It's painful, isn't it? You paid all that money, you know, to this builder or some other guy who's coming to do something. You've given it in good faith. And at the end of it, what you see is mess. Nothing is neat. Nothing is done properly. It's painful, isn't it? It hurts you. Billy, that's I hope we get that when we don't do things excellently, it's painful. It is painful. It's hurtful. But here's the opposite. When we see someone of excellence, someone who is dedicated to their work, you know, someone who is skilled in their work, and they do that job, and they do it well, doesn't that bring you satisfaction? Doesn't that bring you joy? I tell you, when we serve in the church, when we serve our neighbors, when we serve our community, when we serve our places of work, when we serve God with an excellent spirit, there is something, there is rejoicing, there is satisfaction in doing an excellent piece of work. Skilled workers are always in demand. Skilled workers are always in demand. You know, I think mediocrity is one of the worst things that has crept into the church today. Mediocrity. And mediocrity is something like this. Let's say you turned up this morning and there are a few chairs thrown together. You know, there's none of all this here. You know, just things everywhere. You know, and we are doing church and nothing is in order. That is mediocrity. There's no excellence in that. My heart is that when you walked in here, you felt something of excellence in this place. You saw something of excellence in this place. That is my heart. Because I want to show people that we serve an excellent God, not a shoddy God, not a disheveled or disorientated or shabby-looking kind of God that we serve. No, we serve a God of excellence. And so when we practice excellence, people can see that. We don't have to show off. They see it. You can know people of excellence and those who are not of excellence. Let's always pursue something better than what we already have so we can attract people. Sometimes we have to go through mediocrity first, and that's okay. But here's the key. Do not park yourself in that place of mediocrity. Do not just accept whatever will be. That's a terrible place to be. You know when you've touched excellence. You know it. You feel excellence. You know it when you felt an excellent, that you've done something excellent, haven't you? I think all of us know when we've done an excellent job. We also know when we've done a botched job as well. We know we haven't done our best. Sure, we know that as well. But isn't it good, that good feeling when we've done something well? You know, we've come together, we've shown up, we've done things properly. It's a good thing. It's when people go further than expected to. That's an excellent spirit. It's that spirit and attitude that wants to go further and do better. And you can pick such people up very easily. Why? Because they stand out. They stand out. Hallelujah. I know the people of excellence in this house because they stand out. I know. Hallelujah. The important question to ask ourselves is, how is it in our home? How is it in our place of work? How is it in the church? Are we carrying that spirit of excellence in our home? Can our children see that spirit of excellence in us? Can our family members see a spirit of excellence in us? How about in our workplace? Can our colleagues see that we are not shy of doing a good job? Can they know that we are not cheating our employer? Can they see it? Or are they seeing shortcuts in our jobs? Sometimes you might think, well, you know, he's not paying me well, so why should I do it? But if you have that kind of attitude, we'll never get far. Because it's always the spirit of excellence that lifts you up. It's not that spirit of, I will just do what I have to do because he's telling me to do it. Let's change our attitude. Say, no, I'm going to do more. I'm going to do beyond what I can. How does it look like in church, at work, in our homes? What can we do to make it better? Because we don't get there overnight. It's a journey. We go through mediocrity. We learn through mediocrity, but we don't stay in mediocrity. And I don't want us as a church to stay in a place of mediocrity. I want us to be progressive in everything we do. So we might change some things. We might change some systems. Why? Because we don't want to get too comfortable in a given place because we didn't then get stale if we become too comfortable. You know the other thing? There is no shortcut to excellence. No, really? Yeah, there's no shortcut. You've got to work at it. You've got to pursue it. So here's the other one. In order for excellence, you've got to be passionate. And the question is, where does our passion lie? What's passion? It's an intense feeling. It's an intense, compelling desire for someone or something. That's a passion. I thank God I have a passion for Jesus. So when I walk into an environment, I get excited for Jesus. Get excited for Jesus. Why? Because I have a passion for the things of God. It drives me. It motivates me. I don't need anyone else to motivate me. I can be motivated because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's have a passion, a drive for Jesus. People love to talk about what they are passionate about, correct? You talk to somebody, you get onto their passionate subject, they can keep talking and talking and talking. Why? Because they are passionate about that subject. They are passionate about doing that. My passion is this, is to build leaders. That's my heart. I want to build a team of people who will lead others in the kingdom of God. I want a community of people. Thank you. yourself. People will want to be around you. They'll want to know what is on your mind. They'll want to know the knowledge you have. They'll want to pursue your dream. And sometimes I believe that it makes sense for us to pursue the dream of this house, the dream that I carry in my heart. Because when you align yourself to the vision, to the dream, to the purpose of this house, I tell you, God is able to shape us. God is able to bring us to a place where we can do things excellently. My heart is excellence always in everything we do. Even if it's a wire that's out of place, I will point to someone and say, let's straighten that wire out. You know, if it's a curtain is not set properly, I will look and say, let's straighten that out. Not, oh, it's okay today, let it be, you know. Because we can never get to excellence if we stop and it's okay, let it be. And so I'm very hot on that. I get on people's back, not because I don't like them, because I want them to come to a place of excellence. Because that's where I'm going. And I want people to come with me. Here's the next one. If you're going to pursue excellence, then you've got to have a teachable spirit. There's nothing wrong with making a mistake so long as you learn from it. There's nothing wrong. But if you don't learn from your mistake, you're doomed because you do it again and again and again. You and I, we've got to create a teachable spirit in us so that when somebody teaches us, speaks to us, we say, yes, I accept it, I receive it, I want to change. Here's the next one. We go to practice. Practice makes perfect, correct? We go to practice being excellent. You can tell when someone has put time and effort into something, can't you? You can tell them when they speak that they put time and effort into something. In their preparation, they put time and effort into something. Time and effort has gone into putting these chairs, putting all this. You can say something excellent has been done. T.D. Jakes said this, excellence requires discomfort. I like that. Excellence requires discomfort. Why? Because on the road to excellence, someone is going to tell you to do it again and again. On the road to excellence, someone is going to come to you and say, do it again. Put that wire again. Put that curtain up again. Put that instrument again there. Someone is going to say that. Because that good is not enough. You want to become excellent. Do it again. Do it again. The more you practice your skill, the more better you become. Make sure we are looking at the right thing all the time. Make sure you're looking at the right thing. And the person to follow who always does the right thing is Jesus. He's the excellent one. And when we behold Jesus, we will do things well. To me, it's sad when I see Christians and there is no commitment in their lives. There's no dedication for the things of God. And to me, that's a sad place to be. Because I always look at what's your testimony. What are you? What's your body language saying? What are people picking up on the street, in your workplace, at home? And although there people want to be somebody, they want to be excellent, yet they choose not to, because it's a choice that you and I make, that we want to be excellent in everything we do. Excellence attracts excellence. And I know that God has called us to be an excellent church. You know something? You can do small things, but you can do it well. A small thing done well is an amazing thing. Let's learn to do small things well. Let's learn as a church to pursue excellence. Why? We don't want to stay in mediocrity. It'll kill us. We don't want to stay there. We want to pursue excellence in our worship. That's why they meet every Wednesday. They get better every time. If the discipline drops, I pick them up on it and say, come on, you can't drop the discipline in the house of God. We often forget that. We're dealing with eternal things when you're in the house of God. That's eternal. You're touching the lives of people. We got to put discipline into our lives. We can't be erratic in our ways and think God's going to bless it. God used people who had an excellent spirit in them. Let's choose to be excellent in our hospitality. Not just put something out for the sake of it. But when you put things out, let it look good. Let it be presentable good. So people will go, wow, this looks great. In our kids' church, let's do things well. In our missions focus, let's do things well. In our community focus, let's do things well. That's why when you come for choir as well, why do we provide that hospitality? We don't have to. We can give people a cup of tea and a biscuit. Why do we do it? Because we want to show this is excellence. This is excellence. We want to role model something. When people come, they know we are a church of excellence, of hospitality. I want to do it well. Let's have a spirit of excellence in us. It does not matter how many times we may have stumbled in the past. What matters is, are we going to pursue and keep pursuing excellence in everything we do? Are we going to embrace God's call and God's destiny in our lives? Or are we going to say, this is the way I am, and give up? I pray that none of us will give up. But we'll tell, I can always get better. I can get better at my preaching. I can get better at what I do. And I want to get better. Don't give up on yourself. And don't give up on others. Keep encouraging. Keep exhorting. Keep pushing one another. Because we all need that spirit of excellence. Is that okay? Can we desire to go better? To go further? To grow deeper? In the things of the Spirit of God. Let's stand this morning. And I've gone on a bit this morning, but I really believe that this is such an important lesson for us to take into our lives. And my prayer this morning is that if we have been slipshod with the things of God, with church, we can walk in at any time. After all, it's church. You know, God loves me, so who cares? You know, let's change that attitude. We're not coming because of us. We're coming because of people who are going to come here. We're coming here to be a blessing. We're coming here to honor others. You cannot honor people when you're late. Can't do it. Let's be here. Let's be purposeful. Let's say, I'm going to the house of God and I'm going early. Why? Because I want to help these people. I want to put my muscle there. I want to spend time praying with them. I want to spend time worshiping with them. Because I know what we are building is something on the rock. It's not of sand. It's not going to fade away or pass away. It's not going to be blown down. What we are building is strong. We are building a community of people that are of excellence, that will serve our God with an excellent spirit. And it starts with you and with me. We got to come to a place of excellence. And God honors an excellent spirit. See Daniel, see Joseph. See Jesus. My prayer is that God will get rid of our mediocrity. We'll get rid of the whatever is okay attitude. And we'll get focused on saying, God, I'm going to become the best that you created me to be. And I'm going to do my best. Small that it might be small, but I'm going to do it well. And if you're with me this morning, you can pray this prayer with me as I pray and say, God, I want to do better. God, I want to grow deeper. God, I want to do things well. God, remove me from the place of mediocrity and take me to a place of excellence. God, help me to move from mediocrity to a place of excellence. Not only in your house, oh God, but also in my place of work. Maybe you've been slipshod in your place of work. Maybe you've done things half-heartedly. Maybe you've done something because your boss has peed you off. Pardon my word there. Or annoyed you, or cut some hours of your time. Change. Let's change our attitude and say, God, I'm going to serve you in my place of work. I'm going to serve you when I see my boss. I'm going to see Jesus. And I'm going to serve him because I'm serving you, Jesus. And see the change that comes. See the change that comes in your environment. I think sometimes we live in our environments with so much discomfort and worry and blame and so unhappy. It's because we choose not to walk in the spirit of excellence. It's our choosing. And I want us to change that today. I want you to try it out in your place of work. Try it and see how God changes things for you. And Father, I pray this morning, God, that we will always operate with a spirit of excellence in everything we do, because you are an excellent God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace. Amen and amen. Let's go up with a song of praise.